Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Don't you love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we're maybe getting through the last cold spell. Maybe. We're getting close to the time where we can really start enjoying the spring of the year. We need to be thinking about our Passover Easter service. You know, some of us talked about having a service, you know, out at Stars and Tommy's, you know, and if y'all want to do that, we need to be talking about that and getting that lined out. I think everybody was for it at one time, and we could have a good time out there. You know, we have service there and have dinner like we did before, you know. I really enjoyed it. Most people did. But anyway, y'all be thinking about that because it'll be here before we know it. I mean, the April the 20th, isn't it, is Easter. So it won't be long. That's like a month away. So if you would, open up your Bibles, the Old Testament, Psalms 100 and Romans chapter 6. Psalms 100 and Romans chapter 6. We're going to be talking about some things. You know, we like to preach about grace. We like to preach about health and prosperity. But we're going to be talking about sin tonight. You know, sin is something we don't like to talk about, but it's important that we do talk about it because the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." And you know, it's little bitty things that we label as little that hinder our growth, and it also, if we're not careful, since God doesn't place any levels on sin, can keep us from where we need to be. Amen. But it also helps us the reason why we're looking at these verses of Scripture as we go through this, the Lord wants us to be able to help us to recognize certain things and maybe answer some questions in our mind why certain things happen to certain people.
Yeah.
Not that we can judge that, but that we can help them. Amen?
Yeah.
If I'm doing something and it's hindering God's blessing in my life, if it's keeping me from growing, I want somebody to tell me.
Amen? Amen.
I want to get out of that and get into His grace. So that's why we're looking at all this. In Psalms, let's read this, just five verses in this Psalms 100. This sets the ground for the fact of who we're supposed to serve. Amen? I know you know these verses very well, but let's read them. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then we'll go to Romans chapter 6. Psalms 100, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us," amen, "and we not ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And then in Romans chapter 6, let's read verses 16 here. He said, "Know you," in verse 16, he said, "Know you not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants are ye to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And then verse 23, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Pray with me. Father, we thank You that we are the sheep of Your pasture, that we are Your people. And Lord, I thank You that by the anointing of Your Spirit, You will show us ways to serve You with joy and thanksgiving like never before. And every avenue that the enemy might be trying to work in our lives, or someone that we love, lives, to get them to serve Him in some way, You will make us aware. You will, by the anointing, You will bring truth and You will bring understanding, and we can climb higher into Your will and to Your plan.
Right.
We ask these things, believing we receive, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thanks. We all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, what's some wonderful truth in both the sets of these verses of Scripture? You know, when we recognize and realize that God made you. Think about it. God Himself. I mean, as we read and talked about this morning, He spoke and He created the universe and the stars and all these things. But He put His hands on you. Amen. The very fingerprints of God is on you, is on me tonight. Amen. And He done that because He loved us so much and He wanted to make us into His image, but He wanted to prepare a people who could serve Him, who could work with Him in this earth in these last days. He counted you faithful to be here in the last days to bring in the harvest. And when we get that in our mindset, it shows us the importance of being very close to the Lord, where we can hear what He's saying to us. Amen. And where we can understand that there is an enemy out there. The Bible tells us that the devil, as a serpent in Genesis chapter 3, was the most subtle beast of the field. I mean, he knew how to twist the words of God. He knew how to bring deception in Adam and Eve's life. And tonight, you and I, we're not above that.
Right.
We can be deceived in a moment's time if we're not very careful. And so, when we think about that, then we bring this to the New Testament, when we understand that even in the slightest area of disobedience, if I yield to what Greg wants or what the flesh is feeling or whatever it might be, in that moment of time, in reality, I'm not serving God.
Right.
I'm serving self. Y'all talked about that earlier. I'm serving that very moment of time. Even if you would, it's either God really in reality or it's the devil. There's only two sources. Amen?
Right. Amen.
And so He has life for me. That's what we read in verse 23. Amen? God has life through Jesus Christ. So I want to make sure that everything I do and everything I say, that it's authorized from heaven.
Amen.
It's been deputized. It's been stamped and it's right.
Yes.
Do I always do that? No. I wouldn't dare stand up here and say that. I make mistakes but that's what grace is about. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. But at the same time, it's not a license to keep doing the same thing over and over. And if you look around today, there's a great many of people who are, some under false pretense, thinking that it's okay as long as they repent. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, if I keep sinning willfully.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That there's no more repentance.
Right.
Yes. If I keep bringing the blood of Jesus and trodden underfoot. So there's a fine line there. It's not my place to judge. It's not nobody. It's God. It's between God and that person. Amen. But we got to help people. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because there's some people who are in a place. The Bible tells us the way of a transgressor is hard.
Yes.
And in all honesty, I'll be honest with you, I've been there.
Uh-huh.
I've been straddling the fence. Before, and it's the hardest place in the world. Half in God, half in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the Holy Spirit is convicting you and drawing you, pulling on you, and the world is pulling on you, and the devil's beating you up from all sides. Amen? So it's a hard place. And in that place, the devil seems that he works many things in people's lives.
Yeah.
And he brings harm and he's trying to steal and kill and destroy them is what he's doing. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How we can help people get into that place of enjoying their salvation.
Amen.
And coming into the courts of God, the house of God with praise.
Yeah.
And getting away from those things that would hinder, because sin has a consequence.
Yes, it does.
The world will say, oh, go ahead and do it. It'll be all right. Come on, I've even thought that, because I've heard the devil say it. Go ahead and do it. You can repent later. God will forgive you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say that. But there's a consequence. Every time I transgress God's law, step against the Word of God, it hurts the one who died for me. Amen? And there's a consequence. There's a price that has to be paid. So let's look at some things. I want to go, and y'all bear with me, and we're going to just take our time, because I want you to see this out of the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, and let's see about what happens when we don't do what God says. Because the Old Testament, it tells us, is a perfect shadow of how we can understand the new. The natural things help teach us about the spiritual. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, God here, He's given His people instruction. Let's read the first couple verses here. Why is this important to us today? Because He's given them instruction, stepping into the promised land. That's the type of you and I today, stepping into the promises of God. Amen? And when you step into the promises of God, when I start to step into the promises of God, the devil wants to keep us out. Okay? And so we're going to learn from this. It's not just history. It's something that will teach us something. Deuteronomy 7:1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, now notice this, the Hittites, the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Why? What? And what's this like to you and I today? You and I, as we step in the promises of God, the enemy is going to try to bring things in your life. He's going to try to bring things in my life. And we can't show any mercy to him.
Right.
We can't. When the devil brings something in our life, we've got to recognize it's an enemy to God. It's an enemy to our salvation. Now let's understand what's happening here. We won't take time, but you mark it down and look in your home study time. And in the book of Exodus chapter 15, you can read in verses 15, 16 or so, where where Abram is there, and remember he's starting to offer the sacrifice, and as he does, the birds, the fowl of the air, come to try to contaminate the sacrifice, and then God reveals to him, he said, hey, your brothers and sisters, they're going to go into a land, and they're going to be in bondage. And after that bondage, then they're going to come into this promised land. Okay? Well, when God spoke that forth, that was prophecy and that was promise. Amen? But it gave the devil 400 and something years to be able to set up a plan to stop God's children from enjoying that promised land. And that's where all of these enemies then, the devil moved all of these enemies to try to stop God's plan. But God just sits back and grins.
Yeah.
Come on, our God's greater.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we all have enemies in our life, but our God's greater.
Amen.
Amen. And every one of these enemies, they mean something. Every one of them has a name. I encourage you to study it out. And it's applicable to today. I mean, Hivites here, they mean trusting in a village, trusting in a town. People today, they trust in where they live.
Yeah.
I'm in America. Everything's fine. You know, nothing, no evil's on. No, we got to trust in God. Amen. I wrote this down. The Hittites means terror. Terror. You know, the enemy, he tries to bring fear upon everybody, but especially God's people. Amen. One of them means mountain. How many of you ever had a mountain in your life you had to climb over? These are very applicable. Amen. And so what we got to recognize, though, God said, I want you to see them as what they are. Something that will steal your joy. That will ultimately stop the promises of God from coming in your life and my life. The little foxes, Solomon wrote, right, is what spoils the vine. So I've got to be faithful in the smallest of things. I can't take a chance. You see, in my life, the Lord is dealing so strongly with me about being so cautious. Because I've been pleading with Him to be able to climb up closer. And He's desiring all of us to come up closer. But He tells me there's a price to pay. And where more is given, more is required. If we want to get closer to God, then we're going to have to be willing to pay the price of sanctification. But we're going to have to be willing to pay the price of not letting anything taint what God's doing in our life. Amen? Because once you and I climb up here, we're expected more. God's you don't expect the same out of a 5-year-old as you do a 15-year-old. No. So when we get more and closer to God, He's expecting more from us.
Yeah.
And so we got to see these mountains, see them for what they are, and make sure that we make no league with them, no covenant with anything in our lives.
Right.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Go over to the book of Joshua. And now the children of Israel, they're going into this promised land. And in Joshua chapter 9, we won't take time to look at it, but they're getting ready to come into the promises of God. And all of a sudden, if you read this entire chapter, look what happens. It says, starting in verse number 3, these people, they come to Joshua, and it says they did work trickery, wilily. It means from the Hebrew to make bear. And they went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and they took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clatted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you, and from where you come from? In other words, and they tell him, from a very far country. And they deceive him. Look in verse number 14, for sake of time. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made a peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And after 3 days, they find out that they were snookered. But after they made the league with them, they couldn't get them out of the land. And why is that important? Because God said, if you don't get these people out of the land for your whole life, it'll be thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes.
Yep.
Now, I'm being honest with you, my first few years in a Christian walk, that's exactly the way I felt. Because God was dealing with me to get this out of my life and that out of my life, and I wanted to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And it was. It was a battle. It was a struggle, because that's exactly what it felt like. Because you just felt like you was being stuck all over, because you're hanging up in the middle. That fight, that battle, that struggle is going on. But he's talking about us being able to have joy in everyday life. Coming into the house of God full of joy, because why? We're serving no one else but God. We're giving everything to God. Amen? When you listen to them talk, you can tell in just a moment of time if they're really putting God first. Because their speech will reveal it to you. If they start telling you how bad this is and how bad it is, and they never say anything good what God done for them, then you know how to pray for them. Amen? You know how to encourage them, because they just need to be refocused. Because I know, because I've been there, I had to be refocused. But we got to see that this is how the devil works. So slyly. You see, it said that he worked this wily way. And from the Hebrew, it means to make bare. Remember, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? They were clothed in the glory of God.
Amen.
And they heard the lies of the serpent. And they what? They were naked. They, that covering come off of them. And so this is what this is saying. This is helping us to see how important it is to know that, just like it happened in the beginning, it can happen to you and me tonight. The devil is going to talk to you. He's going to try to work in your life, in my life, in our church's life, in ways that seems like, it's so simple it doesn't matter. It's not important. But it is. It's little twisting of words. It's little actions that he wants to try to get people to yield to that will take them away from the blessings of God. Now, when this happens, what happens? There's a result. There's a consequence to sin. Amen? And so, I'm trying to tie something together with me. Go with me to 2 Samuel. Let's see what happens. They made this covenant, and so their covenant was that they could never touch this group of people. And then we have an interesting verse of Scripture here that helps us in David's reign 450 years later in 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21, look what the Word of God says. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites, which is in that area of Gibeah. They call them Hivites there, but same group of people in that Gibeon area. There was a slaughter there. They had made a promise that they would not touch them. And Saul, even though now David's king, David is reaping the reproduction of what Saul done. See, there's a price for disobedience.
Yeah.
Right.
And we need to help people understand this, because they say, well, I'm going to church. Why is this happening to me? I'm trying to serve God. Why is this happening to me? We need to help people to see that the smallest disobedience in our lives not only affects us, but it affects future generations.
Amen.
Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse, it doesn't come causeless. Now see, we got to help. We got to help each other realize and recognize we're either blessed in Jesus Christ and forgiven in Him and walking in Him, or we're under the curse.
Yeah, that's right.
There's only two ways to be, either cursed are blessed. And just because people, just because they start coming, you watch them, they'll start coming to church, and that's good. And I'm so thankful they do. But that doesn't save them. Amen? We got to show them that there's a blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ that's got to be applied to their lives. I talk to people and they say, well, I've been going to church, and that's great. I'm so glad you're going to church, but are you under the blood?
Yeah.
Have you been born again? And so many times they've been sitting in some church somewhere, and they're with all their heart they think everything's right.
Yeah.
And we got to help people, amen. We got to show them that God loves them, and the devil's going to keep trying to curse them. He's going to keep trying to bring things in their life until they get under this blood, amen.
Amen.
Let's look at that. You know the verses of scripture. Go to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to show them how they can be blessed beyond measure. You and I tonight, we're the most blessed group of people, and we got to talk about it. We got to talk about who has blessed us and how He's blessed us. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10, says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You know, James talked about it. He said, if you break one commandment, you've broke them all.
Yes,
you and I, we can't live good enough. And if I try to just be good enough on my own, if I try to go to church, if I try to give offering, if I try to take care of widows and orphans, that's all good. But that doesn't save me. That doesn't get me out of the curse. That doesn't get me in the place of God's grace. Amen? And so, if there's things happening in my life or my friend's life that I'm looking at, my family's life that God's leading me towards, I need to help them and show them that it's not about them, it's about their accepting what Jesus done. Amen? Now look, let's get excited. Look what the Word says. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man, the person that doeth them shall live in them." Why? Christ has redeemed us. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He hung on a tree for us tonight. Amen. That He took all the curse of the world on His life that I could be blessed.
Amen.
He said that the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, how? Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Yes.
Now that Abrahamic covenant, that blessing, means that you and I, we don't have to spiritually die.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
But it also has a providence for us to be physically healed. And it has a provision for promise of God will bless us to meet our needs.
Amen.
That's what's ours. Okay, so why would anybody not want to accept what God has done? They would if they know the good news.
Amen.
That's all they're waiting to hear it. Like Brother David told me, he said he just asked somebody to come to church. They showed up. Why did they show up? Because he asked them.
Yeah.
You know, you asked a bunch of people to come to the singing, and they showed up because you asked them. Amen? So that means we've got the greatest news of all to invite people to something that is better.
Amen.
Not just, I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about Jesus, amen, in the church. And that's what we want to do. We want to help people see that, that if you're tired of banging your head against the wall, if you're tired of battling sin, there's an answer for it.
Amen.
And the answer is Jesus. I struggled so long trying to be good. You know, I would sin, and I would repent, and I'd say, I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
And then I'd find myself knee deep in it again.
Oh,
But when I let Jesus be the one who delivered me from it, amen? Because I couldn't keep from doing it. But Jesus, He can help me do what I need to do when I need to do it. Amen? He is my Redeemer. He is the one that blesses me. He is the one that takes me to places like I've never been before. Amen? You say, well, if I'm redeemed from the curse, how can I be cursed again? Because what did we just read? We read, well, whoever or whatever you serve, whatever you yield your instruments, your members to, that's who you're serving.
Yeah.
So if I yield myself to the devil, then I'm back in that moment of time, I'm back in the place of cursing. It's a hard place. Hold your place right here and turn over to 2 Peter. He tells us this. And it's so important to get this in our heart where we can share it with other people and help them. Look at 2 Peter 2:19. We won't take time to read all this, but he's talking about false teachers. But in verse 19, look at the verse, the last part of the verse. It says, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." 2 Peter 2:19, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought, he is brought into bondage." Well, in other words, whatever overcomes me, that is my Lord. That determines what I'm going to do. So if I yield myself to unrighteousness, I'm serving that. I know this is quiet and I know it's uncomfortable, but it's needful. We got to see that if the little bitty things.
Yeah.
If I can learn how to control my tongue, then my whole life changes. Yeah. Have you ever been someplace and when you left, the Holy Ghost would be all over you and you go, "I don't know why I said that, Lord."
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you. I don't know how many times I've had that conversation. "Lord, I'm sorry. I just got to rolling."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just said it before I thought. God didn't condemn us, but He helps us. Amen?
Come on, amen.
He wants to give us the power to speak edification, to speak building in all situations. Amen? Now, when we yield to something and it becomes dominant over us, we got to recognize that at that time, we're placing that above God. Really, we are. If I want to be honest and if I want to be able to overcome it, because I know my God is greater than everything.
Yeah.
But when I yield to something, if I'm trying to put it above God, then if I come back here and see God is who He is truly, the Creator of all, the God of all, then I can have victory over that.
Amen.
If not, I'll stay in that prison. This is a true story. There's a man in New York State. They got a prison there, Tomes Prison. And he was the contractor that built that prison. And years later, through some dishonest and illegal business practices, he got sentenced to that same prison. And as he walked in that prison cell and they shut that door behind him, his statement was, "I helped build this prison, but I never thought I would be in that prison." You see what I'm saying? We can build a lot of prisons. And if I yield to sin, I'm really, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting myself in a jail cell.
Yeah.
And if other people's yielding to sin, they're putting themselves in a jail cell, and we need to help them.
Right.
We need to show them how the key can be Jesus Christ and can take them out of that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
That's right.
Boy, you can hear a pin drop.
Good.
All right. I'll give you two more verses the Lord gave me and we'll wind this thing up. The battle is over the head. The battle is in our mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, this is why it's so important that we recognize what the Bible says, that Jesus is the head and we're the many-membered body in this earth. Amen? Because if Jesus is my head, if I yield to Him, then everything that He's promised me, everything He's done for me is mine. But I got to recognize that the enemy's trying to bring me to a place where He's my head. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's a battle going on. So let's go back to the Old Testament. Go to 1 Samuel 17 and let's see how that who we yield to, how it affects more than just ourselves, but also it determines ultimate victory. In 1 Samuel 17, you love this chapter. Brother David does. I know he does. But you have the great story of David and Goliath here. And look what is said in verse number 9. 1 Samuel 17 and 9. Goliath is making this speech and he says, talking about David, he said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So the point being is, whoever is on top, whoever's the head, that's who's you're gonna serve. And so this is what the Lord said to me. He said, we gotta show people how to do like David did. If you notice in this 17th chapter, David starts out in verse 32. Look at your Bible and look. It says, and David said, verse 34, second time, and David said, in verse 37, and David said, verse 39, and David said, verse 45, and then said David. You go down through here, David said that he was going to what? He was going to defeat Goliath. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got to say that we can defeat the enemy, amen?
Yeah.
And we got to tell other people they don't have to be cowered down. I mean, Goliath was standing there and he was bellowing. Well, the devil never stops bellowing.
Right.
He's got people cowered down all over the world and think they got to bow down to him and do what he tells them to do and what he wants them to do. But we know the one who can defeat him.
Yes.
We got to say what God said. And look, after David said that, I get so excited here. Verse 51. Therefore, David ran and stood after he had slung with a slingshot and hit him in the forehead. David, he ran and stood upon the Philistine, and what? He took his sword and he drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him and cut off his head. The rest of the enemies fled.
Yep.
So here's the point. The number one thing that is tripping people up, when you're praying for them, ask God to show you what you need to pray about in their life, whether it's yourself or somebody else. The number one thing, you cut that head off.
Right.
Notice then, all the rest of them ran.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, there's one besetting sin that used to control my life. And when I could finally give that to Jesus, then I had the victory in every other area of my life.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to tell people. We want to show them and encourage them that they don't have to keep bowing down to that one thing. They can get victory over it, and then all the other things are going to run. Amen?
Right.
David used the very thing that the enemy was going to kill him with. He used it to kill the enemy.
Amen.
That's what we got to do. So when the devil starts talking to you, then you take that and you turn it around and put it under the anointing of God and say what God says about it. Amen? And help people get out of prison. Get out from underneath these things.
Yes, sir.
My family, they're going through certain things and they can't see it. And it's a cycle. And they wonder why this is happening. And I'm sitting here from a distance and I can see it. And I want to help them, amen? And I know that you got family and friends the same way. Well, all we got to do is have a desire. God will give us the opportunity to help them, amen? And now we're getting the truth in us to be able to know what to do.
Amen.
I'll close with this thought. There's this lady, I think she was 21 years old. Her name was Julie. And she got a pet, a baby pet raccoon. And she raised this raccoon. I mean, she fed it, you know, from the little dropper, and raised it all the way up. And she had a friend. He worked at one of the zoos in a big city. And he'd come and visited, and they were talking, and she showed him. She was so proud to have this raccoon, and she showed it to him. And he said, I want to warn you. He said, when raccoons they get 2 years of age, they go through a glandular change. And when they go through a glandular change, said, at any moment from that point on, that raccoon can turn on you. And she sat there, and she listened to him and looked at him. It's kind of like me and you. We've talked to a lot of people and they sit there and looked at us and shook their head, but you knew they wouldn't listen to what you said. Right? We've been there.
Yeah.
And she said these words. She said, that will never happen to me. The raccoon will never turn on me. That will never happen to me. And I've had people tell me that very thing. Same thing. I can do this and I can control it. They can never control sin. This is what the devil does. He entices us to sin.
Yeah.
And then when we yield to that sin, then it gets bigger and bigger, and before long it's a stronghold.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Right.
But she said, that'll never happen to me. It wasn't just a month or two after this raccoon turned over 2 years of age until this zookeeper, he got a telephone call for prayer. And she is in emergency surgery because this raccoon had just tore her face all to pieces. It took several plastic surgeries to put her back together again. That's a true story. That's what sin does. Sin disfigures and it destroys. And it will get the people sooner or later. You see, children, young children especially, babies, and I mean just walking, and they do certain things, and you see their parents when they talk back to them, or they won't do what they're supposed to do, and they laugh about it. It grows. It grows. Now, I'm not meddling. I'm just wanting us to help people. Amen? I'm wanting to help them while it's little. Because you can take care of something when it's little, but when it gets big, it hurts to get it yanked out. Amen? To get it cut out. And we got to take some time and be with people and just show them with love that they can have everything that God's promised. Amen? And the way they can see that Jesus is real is when you show them how much joy you got.
Yeah.
How much love you got. And they'll be around you, and before long, they'll start picking up on these little things. You may not even have to say anything, amen? It'll just come out. But that's what this is about, is Jesus told us, gave us the command to make disciples. He said we could bear much fruit. That means we can reproduce what Christ has put in us. Not only can we, it's our responsibility to do that. Now, this is why the church is where we're at now, why America is where it's at now, because we have been quiet too long.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm sorry, sin is offensive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is. And God hadn't changed.
Right.
What was sin, when God said it was sin, it's still sin tonight. And it'll be sin when we're standing before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, or standing before the great white, one or the other.
Yep.
We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell.
Right.
And the reason why I'm saying that either the one we love is going to heaven or they're going to hell. And we've got to get on fire, and we've got to get steadfast, and we've got to say, God, here I am. I want to be used, and I don't want anybody that I come in contact with to go to hell without having an opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
But sin wills, the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that Satan is death. So it's either Jesus, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's either life or death. And so I want us as a church, as a group of people, to say, God, if you'll, and I know you will, because you promised me, you said, the book of Psalms says, open your mouth wide and God will fill it.
Amen.
So we'll make a promise to God. God, I'll open my mouth wide, but you give me the seed bed.
Yes.
You see, there's certain members of my family, they won't listen to me. They know that. Amen. They won't, Joe. They resent me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think you know everything? No, I don't know but one thing, that God loves you.
Amen. Right.
That's all I know. And I'm not judging you. I just want to help you. But maybe you can reach them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't reach them. You can't reach some of your family. But we've got to ask God to put somebody in their path that can reach them.
Yeah.
And the way I'm going to know that God's going to do that, I'm going to say, God, you put me in the path of somebody else's family member that's looking.
Amen.
They're looking.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They just don't know it. Amen?
Right.
And when we do these things, we're going to be pruned and purged, and fruit's going to come.
Yeah.
Amen? All right. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness. I thank you for a group of people who are hungry for you. Lord, they love you. They're willing. I feel it. They're willing. They just want to do what you say. They're not going to listen to man, but they're going to listen to you, Lord. I know that. And so, Lord, right now we make ourselves available. We know that there's people who are under the curse. There's people who can't come into the house of the Lord with thanksgiving. There's people who are under the wages of sin. And we ask that you just line our paths with them. Give us favor with them. And as we open our mouth, we decree and declare what your word says, that you will fill our mouth. Lord, as we're faithful in that, we ask every one of us in here tonight has lost loved ones, friends. We ask that you'll send someone to them. Send someone that they'll respect, someone that they'll receive the truth from. You said that we reaped from the very things that we sowed. So we want to sow into the things of God, and we want to reap back from that very work. Because, Lord, we are like you. We have people we love. We're not willing. We don't want them to perish. But we know that you, Jesus, have to be lifted up before them. You said if you were lifted up, you would draw all men to you. Help us to do that. Help this church to lift Jesus, not man, but Jesus higher than ever before, Father. Oh, thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. We ask these things, believe and we receive, Father, in Jesus' name. Can we come just have a little quiet time around the altar and just each, let's just pray and just let the Lord speak to us and let Him encourage us and let Him show us those who are in a prison cell somewhere. Let Him show us some who are looking to be blessed, but they don't know how. Looking to come out from the curse. And He'll show us, amen? Because there is consequences to sin, and we want to help people get out from under that consequence. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Oh, praise you, Master. Glory to God. You know what? The things that we don't like to talk about is the things that we need to talk about. Amen. We serve a holy God. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we lose some of the understanding of how awesome He is. I mean, you know as well as I do, you read in the Old Testament that, you know, God said, don't come next to the mount when He was giving Moses the Ten Commandments. He said, lest you die. They touched the cart on the Ark of the Covenant.
You're right.
And anyway, die instantly. I mean, the things of God is... I mean, we're living in the time of grace, yes. But we're in America, there is a loss of respect for the awesomeness of God. And we've got to help restore that. I mean, you can't turn on the television, you can't put on a video game, you can't do any of these things unless you see the devil working to make people be numb to God and how good He is.
Yeah.
But we need to let the awe of God be restored. Well, the only way to be restored is if you and I instill it in the people.
Yeah.
God said in Deuteronomy, about three different places, but in chapter 6 and chapter 8, He's talking about with our children in our family, our friend. Talk about the Word of God day and night, going in, going out. And the Word, in the Hebrew, it means to instill, which means drop by drop. In other words, I can't just pour a whole bottle in somebody, but I give them to them drop by drop. And that makes them thirsty. That makes them want more. You know what I mean? We could overload somebody's donkey where they don't want any of it, but we just give them just enough. Make them hungry. You know, give them, and bring them along slowly and point them back to the fact that God is holy. Amen? Any other needs tonight?
I'd like to stand in for my son, Russell.
Yes.
When he was 16 years old, he had a real tragic thing happen in his life. And we always raised him in church and everything. And then the other day when they were cooperating on his son, he said, the preacher was talking to him. And he said, I used to believe that stuff about the resurrection and all that. He said, but I think it's just man's tales that they put together. And he said, I believe when you die, there's no heaven, there's no hell. And he doesn't believe that. I mean, when he told the preacher, I used to believe that when I was young. That's still there.
Yes.
It's still there.
Yes.
And I've been praying every day that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, that's pulling down strongholds and every thought and imagination, you know, that high thing that would exalt itself against God and that bring it into captivity,
yes.
Jesus Christ. And I pray that every day. But my other son, y'all prayed with me, and God just brought him out of that Mormonism, you know. And I just feel like it. I stand in and get y'all to pray with me that,
yes,
that it won't be long until we'll see some results in Russell's life. Because he used to be the most humble. I mean, we could just pass a dead animal on the side of the road and he'd just break down and cry. And he was so tender hearted. But over the years, he set himself against that. And he doesn't have any friends that he visits. He works and he goes home and it's his family and that's just it, you know. And so he doesn't get exposed to church or anything. But I know that if we pray and come in agreement on it, that we'll see results.
Amen.
Yes. So I want y'all to ask my church family to pray with me.
Hallelujah. You know, I shared with you about my grandfather. He's 90 years old and never been saved. And I've talked to him for years, and he's telling me the same thing. He said, I believe when you're dead like a dog. But after all them prayers and all them years, he accepted Jesus. And so, I mean, God can change a mind in a moment.
That's right.
Notice.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you. Father, right now, my
God, in the name of Jesus,
we intervene in this situation. We call out to us. We call out His name before Him. We just ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit draw Him. Draw Him. Lord, You know exactly where He's at. You know every heartache. You know every working of the enemy to discourage and to blind you. The Bible says that the God of this world blinds. Lord, that You bring light. You bring sight. In the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, let vision come. Let understanding of the love of God come. In the name of Jesus, let him be made free because he believes and receives the truth of Jesus Christ all over again. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new in Jesus. Oh, Shana Namakia Telekosondelebrakatamba. Oh, Sana de Procosia de Liviangeli Cosondi, Mashana de Cosondi, Mashana de Cosondi, Mashana de Cosondi. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing that is doing in His life. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, You're not willing. You're not willing that any should perish. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, Seven de Castita de Brian, Sabata Sunday. Oh, Sabata Sunday. Samatabalama Sunday, O Shadako Kiyame. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship You. 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 Yes, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, can't you just see it? I can see what Jesus said. Where he, what did He do? He went out and He left the 99. Yeah. And He went and He grabbed the one. And He set him on His shoulders. And He brought him back.
Yes.
Can't you see that? Oh, I can see it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Master. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 He's a gatherer.
Yes.
He goes wherever the need is, don't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When we were praying, what came across my mind was, when you pray, expect good news.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I did with John. I just started saying, he was an ex-Mormon. And when he texted me and he told me about it, he said, I'm an ex-Mormon.
You got what you said.
Right?
Okay, that's what Mark 11:23 tells us. It says that you will have whatsoever you say.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in the heart.
Yes.
And that's what you said. So you've got what you believe. Amen.
Now, when I speak about Russell, I'm speaking about newly born again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you. Anybody else? Anything?
Let's give the Lord a hand. I feel like, you know, what Brother Stewart always says, that the Lord really showed up and showed out tonight. You know, He showed up and showed off.
Amen.
And boy, I enjoyed that message. That was exactly for me. You know, that ministered to me. And let's give Brother Greg a hand. Thank you for listening to the Lord. Announcement singing this coming Friday night at 7:00. Are we still going to have the eating afterwards? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be eating afterwards. And then, what was the other one?
We was talking to some people, talking about maybe changing the start time since we're changing the coming into the summer.
Yes.
And the evening service to 6:00. Starting at 6:00, some people was talking about that, and And since we're the ones that's going to be here, we'll get both tonight. You know, if y'all wanted to do that, yes, or if you don't, no, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It's up to y'all. But most everybody, of course, Sister Jo left. Most everybody that comes on Sunday nights here, that's been a coming anyway. Mm-hmm. So
she said it was fine with her. I asked her.
If y'all would like to vote tonight, we can do that. I guess all in favor of changing start time to 6:00. All opposed. I guess motion carried. So.
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay. So I guess we'll start next Sunday. That's okay. Cool. That'd be important. So any other announcements? Anything I'm leaving out, forgetting? Okay, if not, stand. And Brother Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, for your blessings, for the Spirit to fill, Lord. Thank you for this service. We pray, God, that your blessings will bless. Go with us, Lord, as we go through this week. Bring us back to your house at the point of time, Lord. We'll be careful to praise you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.